This is an interview taken for the Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is taken with Mrs. Edith Mason of 11 Memphis Street, Mount Druitt. And the date of this interview is the 18th of December 1991.
My name is Edith Mason of 11 Memphis Street, Mount Druitt. I was born on the 7th of August 1920 at the Western Districts of Dubbo. I am an Australian. I have one son and I am married.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to ask you a few background questions. What kind of work did your father do?
He was a ganger on the railway at Mount Druitt.
And did your mother work at all?
No, my mother never ever worked. Many years ago, she was a sort of station mistress at a country town just out of Dubbo, a country place by the name of Mogrigai, where there was only two trains a day, one out in the morning and one home at night. Mm-hmm. But my father has been on the railway most of his life. Right. And he was a ganger here at Mount Druitt when we came to live here.
Right, and so were you one of several children? Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have one brother and one sister, both older than myself.
Mm-hmm. You were the youngest.
Yes.
So when did you come to live in Mount Druitt?
We moved here in 1927 in April, and have lived here ever since. We have, you know, seen many, many great changes. Yeah. The area was, well, there was no houses to rent in those days. Before we could come to live here, my father had to have the house built because there was absolutely no houses to rent whatsoever. And we had to sort of wait and just wait till a home was built ready for us to move into.
Is it a timber house or...?
It was. Mm-hmm. It was a weatherboard home with two bedrooms, a lounge room, a breakfast room, kitchenette, laundry, back veranda. And it cost my father £580.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes. Mm. And which is... My brother still lives in today. He has had it bricked over, and it is still just as good as the day it was built.
Mm-hmm. Is that close by here?
Next door.
Oh, right.
Next door. We both live side by side to one another, mm-hmm. sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We built this home on his spare block of land, which they used to use for just gardening in the very early days, because there was no greengrocer, only the one that came around about once a fortnight. So you grew most of your own vegetables, which was, you know, straight out of the garden, and go and pick them as you sort of wanted them. Mm-hmm. And water was very scarce. We had to... There was a water hole out the front, and we used to have to carry water in buckets in the very dry seasons and water the garden that way. There was no such thing as a hose.
Really?
You just mm-hmm. didn't have a hose because there was no outside taps, mm-hmm. because all you had was two tanks from on the house, and that was kept for... drinking and cooking and all those type of things, you know.
So you had to rely on rainwater for those?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Right up till approximately 1933 was when, no electricity. We had kerosene lamps, and we never knew what a torch was. If we went out at night, which wasn't very often, but if you went to a neighbour's place for an evening or something, you carried a hurricane lamp with you. And no made roads. This street we're living in now wasn't even formed.
Wasn't it?
No. It was no, say, it was just a, well, just a track across the paddock to get to the railway stations.
And did you have neighbours close by?
No. We were the only house in this street. There was one right up on the corner of Mount Druitt Road and Palmerston Road, which were naturally formed. And we were the next house sort of down the paddock. And, you know, it was, there was a couple of houses across the creek is what is now a water channel. But we used to just walk across the creek and on our way to school. Mm-hmm. No such thing as a bus. You walked there and back, sort of thing.
How long would that have taken you? Was it a distance?
Well, it's Colton down on the highway, which is, I'd say, roughly, I suppose about 3/4 of a mile, sort of thing. And there wasn't very many houses in between even that.
And you walked with your brother and sister,
yes,
did you?
Yes, mm-hmm. We just all walked down there and, you know, you'd pick up a couple of mates along the track going to school and you'd all wander down together, sort of thing, you know. But the children of today, well, the buses pick them up at streets and, you know, and there's no walking. And we had to walk both ways. And you were very lucky if you had a push bike to ride to school. Where my father just couldn't afford 3 push bikes. So that was out of the question, you know. So it was just walk.
And did he have a car himself?
No. Mm-hmm. I think his wages, as far as I can remember, were about £5 a week in those days, and that had to feed and clothe and also pay the house off for the 5 of us.
So what would your mother's daily routine have been when you were children?
Well, it'd be just completely like a housewife's routine sort of thing. Making beds, sweeping floors. There was mostly it was lino on the floors. Which had to be swept every day, sort of thing, you know, to pick up any dust and that. Washing, which was done by a fuel copper. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in those days, there was no such thing as soap powders. You got the bar of soap and you sort of scraped it with a knife, you know, and boiled the clothes up. Then you had to get them out onto a sort of a draining board, which was a board with holes in it so the water would sort of run through and go back into the copper. And then you rinsed them and blued them and wrung them out by hand. You were very lucky if you had a wringer. And then pegged them on a line which was strung across the backyard, you know, sort of thing. Push it up with a prop. It's
much harder work than it is now.
Well, By the time you did those sort of things, and then there was no such thing as everything was like woolen or cotton, no such thing as nylon, and socks had to be darned, and, you know, she made most of our clothes on a treadle machine, and this is what she would do, you know, 90% of the day sort of thing.
And did she shop locally?
Well, there was only one grocer shop here, and it was so expensive that she mostly shopped in Parramatta. And my father, being on the railway, could have his groceries sent up in a box, sort of freight-free, to the station, and she would go down, say, once a fortnight and order all her groceries, and they would be sent up, and then you'd take the old wheelbarrow over and sort of wheel the groceries home.
From the station?
From the station.
And there weren't any local shops here at all?
There was one, mm-hmm. And there was a wine bar sort of thing. The very early days, there wasn't even a post office. You picked your mail up from the station, from the station master's office, and your paper. But, of course, then as more people came to the district, we got a post office.
When would that have been, roughly? In the 40s or?
Oh, no. There was a post office here when we came in 27,
right.
Sort mm-hmm. of thing. So it would be going back, I'd say, perhaps before the 20s, mm-hmm. the 1920s, mm-hmm. that there would be no post office. Mm-hmm. But.
And how did your family get around if you needed to go further afield? I suppose you had to go by train and then walk, did you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
And if you wanted to go somewhere cross country, you'd have to walk, or did
well,
you have a family bicycle?
No, no. Again, my father being on the railway, he got a pass each year, which took the whole family on the train free of charge, sort of thing, for. I think it used to be about a 3-week holiday, and we could go like into Sydney or Parramatta, Penrith, or up the mountains, mm-hmm. you know, and it wouldn't cost us any fares, sort of thing. But other than those, we just didn't have holidays mm-hmm. because they just weren't affordable, sort of thing. And you know, it wasn't until very later that you know, you could afford to sort of go for a holiday in those days.
And what did you do as a child? You went to school locally.
Yes.
What did you do in the school holidays for recreation?
Oh, well, just amused yourselves. We used to go for like picnics in the bush and build cubby houses and I don't know, we never seemed to get into any problems, you know, with any trouble, but we just used to amuse ourselves. We'd probably play shops, you know, get all old tins and bottles and goodness knows what, and pretend that they were things in a shop, you know, and sort of sell them to one another. But we just made our own fun. There was no wirelesses, of course, even until we got the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got that, we thought it was wonderful when we could at night time sit and listen to Dad and Dave and mm. Blue Hills and all those sort of mm. things, you know. It was but other than that, I don't know, we just we have always had a piano in the house. Mm-hmm. My mother played a little bit, and friends used to come in and we'd just have a sing song or a party where we'd play games, and this is mostly how we had our entertainment, just through house to house sort of thing.
And did your grandparents live close by, or were they in Dubbo?
No, my father's people were in Dubbo, but my mother's people were in Auburn.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't too far away.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, when we were living in Dubbo and out in the country, that was one great thing. When Dad got his holidays, we would come down to Auburn and stay with relatives and that, you know. And from there, we could always sort of hop into Sydney and go to the parks and, you know, get on a tram and go out to Bondi or something like that, you know.
So when you were living here, your mother didn't have any, like, she didn't have her parents close by, very close by, to help if you were ill or if she was ill or anything
No. Our neighbours were very, very good, but I don't know, we didn't seem to have that much sickness, you know. And there was no doctor in Mount Druitt.
Wasn't there?
No. We had to go to St Mary's or Rudy Hill. And they used to come round in the very early days in a horse and sulky sort of thing, you know. It was really going, it was a very, very countryfied sort of a little place. People used to come out from Sydney and have holidays out at a guest house out at Colleton called Wattle Grove Farm. Now that was a marvellous thing. And they thought they were going hundreds and hundreds of miles in those days. Mm. They would come up in the train to Mount Druitt and go out in the, we had one gentleman that had what they called a charabang, sort of a bus. It was like a stretch limousine car with doors on, you know, into each compartment type of thing. And they would be picked up from the station and taken out to Wattle Grove Farm. And, oh, they'd have a marvellous time, they'd, you know. They could have tennis and swimming in the creek and horse riding and all that sort of thing, you know. And, it was even advertised in the Sydney Morning Herald in those days.
All the city folk could enjoy the country life.
The country life, yes. So that's, and now, I believe, you can't move over there for houses.
The Wattle Farm's gone.
Yes, yes, definitely, yes, sort of thing.
So you've seen a lot of changes take place in that time?
Oh, yes, yes, definitely.
Did you go to high school in the area?
Yes, Penrith. Mm-hmm. That was the only high school, or... There was like the Granville Technical College. There was one at Parramatta, but we were all sort of automatically went to Penrith, and we would have to catch a train at about 8:20 of the morning and go as far as Kingswood. And then we had to walk from Kingswood because the high school was not right in Penrith. It was on the corner of Dunmore Street and the Great Western Highway.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to walk from Kingswood Station, teachers and all, so and then walk back in the afternoon and catch the steam train home. sort of thing.
And after school, did you go on to any tertiary after high school? Did you go on to any tertiary education?
No. Mm-hmm.
So what did you do when you left school?
Well, the first job that I ever had was a lady had her mother living with her who was very ill, and she wanted somebody to help her out, and so I went and worked over at her place, and I got 8 shillings a week plus like my food, and I stayed there of a night time. But I only did that for, I suppose, 3 or 4 months while her mother was very ill, just to give her a bit of a break, you know. Then I went to a factory in Parramatta, in Phillip Street, Parramatta, where they used to make trousers. And I worked there for 2 years. And we used to put all the bands on the tops of the trousers, and we used to get 1 and 8 pence a dozen.
My goodness.
And it was piecework. The more you did, the more you earned. And I used to get roughly, some weeks would be a little more than others, but roughly I would make about 30 shillings a week. Mm-hmm. And out of that I had to pay 3 and 4 pence for a weekly ticket on the train, and had to catch a train about 10 to 7 in the morning to be at work by 8 o'clock. And we would get home at night time about 6:20.
Mm. When would this have been? Roughly what year?
That would be roughly about 36.
Mm-hmm.
About 1936, sort of thing, before the before, of course, it was all steam trains.
Yes.
In those days. And the trains were sort of few and far between. This is why you had to sort of go so early, because the next train, you would be late for work. And that didn't go over very well with your boss, because in those days, you had to work. It was, it wasn't heavy work, but you had to keep going. You couldn't, to make anything out of it. And from there, then I left that and went to work for a doctor in Burwood for about 2 years, and that was just before. Well, I left there to get married, sort of thing.
Right, so what year were you married?
41. 1941.
Mm-hmm. And then you built this house, did you? Or
no. Mm-hmm. We were married in April in 1941. Cliff went into the army in the October of that year. We were in a flat in Phillip Street, Parramatta, when we first got married. So that was sort of too lonely, and I moved back up and lived with Cliff's parents until he was out of the army, which was about 18 months, I think he was in the army, and then he was he got out of the army like medically through asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we lived up with his parents
Where was that, in Mount
Druitt? Yes, mm-hmm. Used to be known as Blenheim Avenue, Mount Druitt. It is now Meacher Street. And from there we started to build a home on a block of his block of land that he had up there in the same street. When his mother, they thought she was going to go blind. So that's as far as we went with building a home, because we knew she would never be able to cope like without somebody in the house with her.
Mm.
So that's why we didn't build then. But this place was, the house was only built in 1974.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. So did you live in that house with his parents?
Yes.
Until you moved here?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We spent 5 years in Orange, and that's where our son was born, mm-hmm. in Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And it was then that that we got the letter to say that his mum, you know, she had glaucoma and that would probably go blind. So we automatically packed up and came back to live back in the area. So mm-hmm. the only time we have been out of Mount Druitt is for about 5 years, round about the 1945 Lawrence was born. So, you know, it was...
So when you came back here, how old would he have been? He was just a toddler, was he?
Yes, he was only three.
Right.
Three when we came back here.
And he was born in 45, you said?
45.
So you were back here in 48. Right.
Yes, we were back here.
And where you were living then with your in-laws, was that a built-up area? Or was that country-ish?
Country, mm-hmm. country. It was still rural.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of thing, you know, because all the mostly the people, their living was mostly poultry farming, sort of thing. And Cliff's father originally was he grew grapes, and had connections with Minchinberry,
mm-hmm.
because the grapes, they used to crush them, and then Minchinberry would take the residue or whatever from the grapes, sort of thing. Besides, they used to sell bunches of grapes, you know, to anybody. A basket of grapes would probably be about 10 cents or a shilling, you know, for a basket of grapes and that sort of thing. The boys found it, my brother and my husband now, found it very hard to get work in the Depression, you know, and they worked seasonally at the canning factory.
In Mount Druitt,
Balgay Canning Factory in Colleton.
Oh.
And they both worked in what was classed as the tin shop. You know, where they made the tins for the for the preserves and that sort of thing. But that was only sort of mostly seasonal. They would start a little bit before the season to get a stock of the tins ahead. And but in between that, there was nothing much unless you got an odd day's work on a poultry farm or some such thing like that, you know. Because, well, there was nothing, there was absolutely no other industry around to get work at. Just so they used to go out and they'd set traps for rabbits,
mm-hmm.
out where the new housing commission area is, which was all bush in those days. And they'd go out, set their traps, and then either go round late at night on their push, they'd got a push bike by this time, mm-hmm. each, and they'd check their traps, or early in the morning they'd go around and collect whatever rabbits that they'd got, take them home, skin them and clean them, and take them round to anybody that wanted to buy a rabbit, and for sixpence. Mm. Sixpence each.
Goodness.
Mm. And the skins, they used to sell the skins, you know, how they used to sort of put them on a wire frame and dry them, mm-hmm. inside out, they put them and dry them, and then they'd send them away or take them somewhere and sell, and get a few pence for the skins. Collected bottles, and the bottler used to come round and give you about tuppence a dozen for beer bottles, and so so
and
much.
This was all during the Depression, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. However, you could make a few pence. You know, you could. Yes. You did it in those days, and the boys, because they were living at home, could not get the dole, and of course it wasn't money in those days, it was just food, vouchers for food, mm. and that, and you were not allowed to get cigarettes on those mm. vouchers, that was taboo, they wouldn't give you cigarettes on those vouchers, so